Please stand for the gospel. It will be on page 741 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to read along. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, the one who was, the one who is still to come. Amen. I was about 6 months into my first year of seminary when the conversation began. My classmates and I were sitting around the little outdoor fire pit at the seminary apartments drinking wine one night when someone asked, "When was the last time we talked with God?" We paused, thought about it, and couldn't answer. We'd been spending countless hours talking about God, learning how others talked about God, and finding ways to express the wide variety of understandings of God. But not many of us had talked with God since those anxious beginnings of the seminary journey. I wonder, were we too busy for God? Flash forward a couple of months. It was August 18th, 2013, to be precise. I had just arrived back in Berkeley after a wonderful visit home to Bellingham, Washington, where I had preached at my home congregation, worked at an outdoor music festival, and went on several hikes in very few days. It was an exhausting trip, and I didn't think much of the incredibly sore throat I had acquired during the plane ride home. The next day brought more pain, and I tried all my old sick remedies. There was tons of tea with honey, lots of rest, drinking water, all the usual things, but nothing seemed to work. So I went to bed early that night and woke up at midnight with a bit of a scare. I was having a hard time swallowing. Now, by unusual and wonderful circumstance, my dear friend Sarah was staying with me during the final days of her pastoral internship because her husband had moved all of their items up to Portland early because he was beginning a job up there. But me being me, I didn't want to wake her. It was midnight. That was kind of silly because I ended up driving myself to the emergency room. As many of you know, there are certain trigger words and phrases at the ER which will get you visited sooner rather than later. And not being able to breathe is one of those trigger phrases. They immediately brought me in, they took all of the tests, and then they gave me steroids and antibiotics, told me it was nothing, and sent me home. I was back in bed by 4 a.m. Then at 7, I had another panic. I woke up to discover that all of the glands from my face down to my chest were swollen. Not just a little bit. I wasn't even recognizable to myself in the mirror. Sarah drove me to the ER this time, and they quickly sequestered me off in isolation in the emergency room area. That was the last clear memory of my time there. I spent 3 days living in a bubble. I was placed under quarantine by Berkeley Public Health. They pumped me full of antibiotics and painkillers and IV fluids. They flew in specialists who kept telling me how special I was. I underwent countless tests, and still there were no answers as to what was going on. I had quickly become an outcast, the kind of person who other people were afraid to touch without full body protection. Not that I blame them, really. I was quite a sight. And I was also quite terrified. And with no one to talk to in the ER room, I found myself talking a lot with God. Talking with God was really safe in the hospital. I knew that it wouldn't involve tests or health questions. And God didn't have to dress in hazmat gear to be in that room with me. And God was listening at all hours, especially in those lonely hours between 1 and 4 a.m. when I was able to get a little peace in between nurse visits. It's funny, though, right? Like, we only often call on God when things aren't going so well or when we're scared or lonely or sick. We often forget to check in when life is going really well. Today's gospel message is clearly about thankfulness. There were 10 lepers, outcasts in society, who tentatively approach Jesus, calling him master, saying, "Heal us," and they are instructed to head to the temple, a place where they were not allowed to be as lepers. They do as they are instructed, and they are healed. And one of them, a double outsider because of where he's from, turns back to thank Jesus. He prostrates himself. And according to Jesus, it was his faith that made him well. Now, the obvious theme of this text is thankfulness, being thankful for all the gifts and mercy God bestows on us. But the thankfulness of the Samaritan in this story is deeper. He's been restored to inclusion in a society which wouldn't even allow him into the place of worship that Jesus told him to go to. Can you imagine closing the doors of this building to the people who need us most? Because we have outcasts in Orange County. Outcasts in society are shamed just by their very existence. Some are hidden in the shadows of the hot sun under trees and bushes. I see them when I'm driving around. Some are the forgotten of society, too old or sick to leave their homes. And we don't need to look much further than these very church doors to engage with outcasts, because some of them come to us here at our Redeemer, asking for food, supplies, or a kind ear. Sometimes they hang out for a while in the church office waiting area, not wanting anything at all. In those cases, it seems as if they just need to be seen by someone. They need to know and be acknowledged as human, as beloved children of God. And in today's text, Jesus fully sees the men, and the Samaritan in particular. To fully see someone goes beyond our ocular understanding of sight. It's how we interact, react, listen to, and treat people. There's an internet meme floating around, which says it best, I think. It says, "Don't judge people based on their gender, sexuality, race, size, or religion, because who am I to judge? All that should matter is what kind of person you are and how you treat others." All that should matter is what kind of person you are and how you treat others. If only it were that simple, right? Jesus makes this look so easy sometimes. But the reality is, we are flawed and broken people. We tend to be fearful of the other and the outcast. The news is full of those stories. And fear creates fractures in our relationships with our friends and family and all of creation. And sometimes that fear can run so deep that we think it affects our relationship with God. It doesn't, of course. Our relationship with God is solidified on the cross. We are loved and forgiven, even though we are broken and flawed and do not know how to be in right relationship with one another. So if God loves us so fully, then why is it so hard for us to fully see the outcast? I'm guessing that's why the Samaritan in today's story was so incredibly thankful, because outcasts often feel as though they are beyond the love of God. They have been made to feel that way, that there's some path they have taken which is just out of the reach of God's love and grace. How often have you heard someone say, "What have I done to deserve this?" Or, "How long, O Lord, how long?" When we feel like an outcast or when we've been deemed a special case, sometimes God is the only ear listening. The lepers knew that. They knew they could tentatively approach Jesus without him shutting them down or judging them or turning his back or blaming them for something they had no control over. And they cried out to him, and they were seen and they were healed. And one, the one who remained to show his deep appreciation, he was made well because being thankful is a sign of being in relationship. And God wants to be in relationship with us. Ask yourselves, are you too busy for God? Because God isn't too busy for us. I'll leave you with just a couple more things. The lepers in this story were transformed by an encounter with Christ. And so we too are transformed each Sunday by the body and blood of Christ to go back out into the world, to be with the outcast. And this world can be very scary and fearful sometimes, but God is with us in all of that. God is with us even in those lonely and dark moments of a hospital room. God fully sees the other and showers them with love and grace beyond all human comprehension. God is with the outcast, and God is calling us to do the same. And in that work, there will be thankfulness. The thankfulness to serve and the thankfulness of being healed. But here's a twist. Today's gospel isn't for the helper. It's not for Jesus. Today's gospel is for the outcast. The gospel this weekend is for everyone who has ever been an outcast or objectified for their race, gender, class, ethnicity, sexual orientation, you name it, all of the above. And that gospel is that God is listening. God is relational. God is love. Love wins. You, whoever you are enough for God. And for that, we can be pretty thankful on this Sunday morning. And let the people say, Amen.